Amen. Well, I've enjoyed the singing today. Thank you for singing that song. And well, all the specials have been a blessing. Let me get this thing here. I was thinking about Pastor Brandon starting over on that Jesus Loves Me. I think I'm going to preach for about 30 minutes and say, you know what? Let's go back. Let's do this again. Sometimes the Lord allows us to mess up just number one, to let us know that we're human. But number two, just to let us know that we mess up. Yeah. I think if we're not concerned, we'll get more concerned about being professional than spirit-filled. Now, I believe in doing it right. Don't get me wrong. But it's okay to mess up. You say, well, I don't ever want to get used to it. I don't either. But I want to understand that it's a possibility. Amen. It's a possibility. I want to talk to you this morning about, well, several things. I want you to look in Luke chapter number 7. And in Luke chapter number 7, we have a chapter where Jesus deals with individuals and he responds to different people in the different situations. I was thinking this past week about our church family and how I love our church family and how that so many in our church family are just going through different things. And as a pastor, I can minister to you, and I want to minister to you, but no one can minister to us like Jesus can minister to us. Jesus knows our need, and he's adequate to meet the need to where the need is. He can come to where the need is and meet us at the place of our need. That's what chapter 7 really is all about. Let me show you what I'm talking about before we get into the meat of the message. In chapter 7, now it's very important that you follow along with this so you can see the timeline of this also, because the story that we're going to give, the account in the scripture, I think the timeline is very, very important. And so in chapter 7, the first thing that happens is there's a centurion who has a sick servant. And he comes to Jesus, or he sends some folks to Jesus. He said, listen, I want you to come and heal my servant. And as Jesus is on his way, he responds. He always responds. Jesus responds, and he starts to the centurion's house. And then he sends some people, and he says, you know what? He said, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof. He said, you just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. And notice what Jesus said in verse number 9 of chapter 7. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So what's Jesus saying? He's responding to a man's faith. So if you want to get Jesus involved in your situation, exercise faith. The second thing that happens is that we have this woman. And this woman is getting ready to bury her son. And the scripture tells about this in verse number 10. It says, and they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole and that had been sick. And verse number 11 says, it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him with much people. And he came nigh to the gate of the city. Behold, there was a dead man carried out, and the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So here's a woman in despair. I mean, you could imagine, it's her only son, and she's in despair. I've never felt that despair. Some of you have. Some of you felt that despair for a child to make the passing. I've never felt that. But Jesus was empathizing, he was sympathizing, he was showing compassion to this woman. And we know the scripture, how he touched a bear and he said, you know, just stand still. And he gave life to this son again. And what a time that must have been. You know, I think about this centurion and how that the servant was touched and how that just changed that whole household. And then I think about, no telling how many people were affected when Jesus touched and healed that centurion servant by his word. The centurion was a soldier, over 100 soldiers. So it just touched so many people. Then here's this woman in Nain, this widow. And when Jesus healed her son, I don't know how many people that this influenced and it impacted, but I'm just sure it was many. And then you go down and you look, and it begins, and this is very important to the timeline, where in verse number 19, the Bible says, John calling unto him, this is John the Baptist, two of his disciples, he sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come, or look we for another? John was in prison, and he was no doubt discouraged. And maybe it caused doubt to arise. I don't know what was in John's heart, but I know that we all get discouraged. And I know that if we're not careful, we can begin to doubt things that we really know. John knew. I mean, this is the man who said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And yet here he is in prison, and he's discouraged. He's downcast. And he said, listen, he said, I don't know how this is going to end. It's not looking good. So I want you to go ask if he's the one, if he's the Messiah, or should we look for another? And you know what Jesus answered. He said, look, you go and you tell John, amen. And he said, you tell him about the ministry that's going on. You just remind John of some things that I'm doing. And you can read that. He said in verse number 22, Jesus answered and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. Amen. He said, you remind John of what I'm doing. No doubt this was just like medicine to John's soul. After these three occasions, okay, so here's Jesus, and he's responding to different people with different needs. You see what's happening here? You get kind of a backdrop of what's happening. So you got a centurion, his servant is very sick, and the Jews loved him. And you ought to read the story sometime. They said, listen, this guy's a good man here. This man's different. He's not just your normal centurion. He really cares about his people. He cares about his servants. And he's a good guy. And Jesus said, let me go see about this. Now, he knew, but he said, let me see what I can do. And I'm telling you, he got involved in that whole situation. It no doubt impacted that place. And then there was this widow and that situation. No telling how it impacted the family and those that were around. And then there's John and the disciples. I think these were probably a little closer to Jesus and knew a little more about Jesus. But you know, even those who walk close with the Lord and even those who serve the Lord, they get discouraged too. They have needs too. And they need Jesus to meet them at the place of their need also. And he did. And then there was this guy. Well, he was a religious man. He was of the Pharisees. And they were kind of at odds with Jesus. And they've been kind of going back and forth a little bit. And the Bible says in verse number 36 of chapter 7, it says that one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. Now, I find this very, very interesting. Now, here's where it picks up some. So I want you to listen really careful to the message this morning. Not that you wouldn't any other time. So here's this guy, this religious guy, and he thinks he's okay. It was this group of people that Jesus said, listen, he said, the whole need not a physician, but the sick. And he said, the Son of Man hath not come to call the righteous to repentance, right? But sinners. And so here's this guy, and he thinks he's okay, and he's just kind of going through life, and he thinks, I've got it. I'm all right, you know. I mean, these other people had needs, and they're crying out for help. And then there's this guy thinking, I got it, you know, I'm on top of things. And he said, Jesus, won't you just come on over and have dinner with me? He said, I think I've got some questions I want to ask you. I've got some things I want to find out about you. Now, this is the way some people approach Christianity, church. This is the way they approach it right here. You know, me and Jesus kind of buddy, I'm going to have him over for dinner one day. Not that I need him or anything, but I'm just going to have him over for dinner one day, and we'll see how things pan out. And so when Jesus got to this Pharisee's house, you have to understand the custom of this day. There's three main individuals that are part of this scene right here. There's this repentant woman, and we're going to look at her in just a moment. And the Bible says she was a sinner. And then there was this Pharisee. His name was Simon. And I mean, Simon was a man, he just thought he was all right. He thought, I don't have a need. He's the only one in this chapter that's like, you know what, I don't have any needs. But really, he had the greatest need. It's those who don't think they have needs that have the greatest need. And so I want you to hear me this morning. You may be sitting in church this morning thinking, I'm all right. I've got this. I've got it down. I've got my I's dotted. I've got my T's crossed. I'm in church. I own a Bible. I understand. Well, you know, I hope you do, but I want you to understand, this man didn't understand. He thought he did, but he didn't. As a matter of fact, if I had nothing to go on but the way he viewed someone else, it lets me know he doesn't understand. Because of the way he viewed this woman, he didn't get it. He didn't get it. It's not her. It's you, Simon. It's not her. She's had that need met. She's been to Jesus. It's you. It's you. You think you have it. You don't have it. And so let's look at this. All right? So the scripture says in verse number 36 that this Pharisee desired that he would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house. Listen, he done exactly for this man what he did for the others. He met him at the place of his need. Now, I don't know why Simon had him. I have a strong inclination that Simon had him there to try to find fault and to try to ridicule and to try to make a public spectacle out of the Lord Jesus. That's a very dangerous thing. And so the scripture says that when they sat down at meat in verse number 36, now you have to understand a little bit about the customs, okay? It was customary that day that when a big deal in town, you know, we would call them celebrities in our day. When there was a big deal in town that was having a dinner, they would set out a spread. It was kind of out on a porch, a banquet-type porch, and it was open. And the community would kind of stop in because they wanted to kind of get a glimpse of who was at the big wheel's house and what was going on. And they would kind of line up around. And it attracted a crowd. Now, part of the crowd was this woman. And she was a city woman, the Bible says. And the scripture says she was a woman of the city. And it, while it does not say, there's an inference here that she was a woman of ill repute. She was a prostitute. She was a woman that didn't care for herself and didn't care for others. She was a woman who had a very bad background. And she was known for this background. But something happened in her life. I believe I know what happened in her life. You see, when you line this up, remember what happens now. Remember what happens. I want you again to look right before this Pharisee invited Jesus to his house. Now hear me now. Right before this, John the Baptist was in prison. All right? When you go to Matthew chapter 11, I want you to do that just for a moment. In Matthew chapter 11, almost immediately when someone tells me, or if I'm sitting and someone says, turn to Matthew chapter 11, my mind immediately goes to verse 28. Because in Matthew chapter 11, we have an expansion of what takes place in Luke's account where John the Baptist was in prison. Jesus begins to give kind of a dissertation about John and about the times and about the people in that day, that generation. And right at the end of that dissertation that he gives in Matthew chapter number 11, let me show you what I'm talking about. In Matthew chapter number 11, look if you would in verse number 2. Matthew 11, verse 2. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Remember that, right? You remember that. That's what's taking place in Luke chapter 7. And right after this is when this Pharisee invited Jesus into his house. So get the harmony here of the gospel accounts. So right after this, what we're reading in Matthew, how did Matthew close? Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. In verse number 28, after Jesus had began to upbraid the cities and talk about how tolerable it would be, he said in verse number 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, he's been meeting needs of people. He's been meeting the needs of people. He met the needs of the centurion servant. He met the needs of the widow whose son had passed. And here he is, and he said, you send back to John, and you tell John, I am the one. Amen. I am the one. And you can count on me. And he said, is there anybody else there that has any needs? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, He said, I'll meet your need. Amen. I'll give you some rest. And so my call to you today is the same as Jesus's was in this day. I don't know. Listen, I know some of the things that people are going through this morning, but I don't know all that people are going through. I don't even know all that folks are going through that I know some of what they're going through. There's some I don't know that you're going through anything, but I'll tell you one that does. His name is Jesus. Amen. And he said, I will meet you at the place of your need. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Praise God for that. I say praise God for that, brethren. And then he said in verse number 29, look at it. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, listen, find out some more about me. Find out some more about me. He said, well, I'm good, preacher. No, you're not. Find out some more about him. Well, I know some things. Find out some more about him. Amen. Well, I've experienced some things. He wants you to experience more. He wants you to experience more. Jesus has something more for us, brethren. Jesus. Listen, when Jesus gets through with us, he's taking us home. The very fact that you're here today means that he has more for you. He said in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Get in the yoke with me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now go back to chapter 7. So I believe, can't prove it, not willing to argue over it, but I believe in that crowd when Jesus gave that call, there was this woman who was thinking, well, you know, Jesus probably do something for that centurion because the Jewish people loved him and he was a good guy. So he'd probably heal his servant. And that widow woman, bless her heart, she only had one son. And you know, what's it like to have your only son to pass? I could see why Jesus would help that widow woman and raise her son from the dead. And John the Baptist, Jesus had just said, there's none greater born of a woman than this man. What a great prophet of God is John the Baptist. But what would Jesus do for me? You know, that's what the devil will tell you if you're not careful. Amen. What's Jesus going to do for you? You don't deserve it. Can I tell you, the centurion didn't either. The centurion servant didn't deserve it either. Jesus didn't help that centurion servant because the centurion or the centurion servant deserved it. Jesus did it because he's Jesus. Amen. That's right, brother. Listen to me. Jesus didn't help that widow woman whose son had passed because she only had one son or because she was a widow. Jesus did that because he's Jesus. Jesus didn't respond to John the Baptist and those disciples the way he did because of who John was. Jesus did that because of who he was. And that's the way Jesus will respond to you and I too. That's the way he responds here. Let's look at it. So you back in Luke chapter 7. I believe that woman came forward. And I believe she got some help for her soul. I believe she did. And right after that, there was a big crowd there. And there was, if you'll read in verse number 36, read it again. Right after Jesus got through speaking about John the Baptist in verse number 35, verse number 36 says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. So there was a big crowd there, and Jesus gets through, and he said, I want you to come and eat with me. All right. So Jesus goes with him. And then the Bible says, while they were there, look at it in verse number 37, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. The scripture says, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Now, you'll have to kind of get the picture of how Jesus was sitting. He kind of had his feet behind him. He was almost in a laying down position, the way they prepared their meal. The meat was before them, and they were all kind of in a position like this, and their feet were behind them, and she was standing. There were people lined up around them, and she was standing behind them, and she got behind Jesus, and she began to weep uncontrollably. For her tears literally wet the feet of Jesus. And she took her hair, which is very unusual for a woman to take her hair down. As a matter of fact, in Jewish customs, for a woman to take her hair down, since her hair was her glory, now don't you miss this now. It was a sign of dishonor. She took that was her glory and made it her dishonor so that she could put honor on him. What is she saying? It's not my honor. It's your honor that matters to me. I just want to somehow show you honor. I want to give you honor. I don't have anything, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. Isn't that something? That there's this woman just weeping uncontrollably. She's taking her hair and she's wiping his feet. And then the Bible says that she took this alabaster box, this box of ointment. If you'll look in verse number 38, not only is she wiping the tears with her hair and her head, she's kissing his feet and she's anointing his feet with ointment. What's this woman doing? What's this woman doing? She's expressing gratitude. She said, I sure am glad that I'm saved. You say, did she get saved? Well, we'll see in just a minute. Jesus said she did. She was saved right here. Listen, this is not what saved her. We'll see that too. She had already gotten saved. She was just expressing it. Did you know it's a good thing to express to Jesus your gratitude for being saved? Sometimes we know it's a good thing to do, but we just don't do it. As a matter of fact, I want you to kind of, sometime today, kind of look back over your week and say, how many times did I tell God, thank you for saving me? Instead of asking God to save someone else, and I believe we ought to pray and ask God to save other people, I want you to look back over your week and say, did I thank God for saving me? Right? Amen. Gratitude. Thankfulness. Devotion. Humility and spirit. This woman was displaying it all. Look, if you would, in verse number 39, I'm sorry. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, now where'd that come from? You know, look back in verse number 16, if you would. Chapter 7, verse 16. After Jesus had done some of the things he had done, he had healed the centurion's servant, raised the woman, son, he said unto him in verse number 14, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up in verse number 15 and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now watch this. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. Simon was in the crowd, and Jesus, he said, hey, I want you to come into my home. And he does, and there's this woman, and she starts just weeping uncontrollably, and her tears are washing his feet. And she takes her hair, and she begins to wipe his feet, and then she begins to kiss his feet. The Bible says she broke open a box of ointment, and she began to anoint him. And when Simon saw that, it bothered him. He didn't like Jesus getting that attention. He didn't think people ought to show their gratitude for what Jesus had done in their life. He thought that, you know, maybe there ought to be some others that were more important or more significant to receive such a thing. You know, the devil will try to do that to you too. The devil will have you rooting more for people who don't even know you than someone who saved you. Somebody say amen with me. I'm just saying what the devil will do if we're not careful. Be careful. Right? Look here. He said in verse number 39, he said, well, if he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, you know, they're saying he's this great prophet. I don't know about that, he said. Right? I don't know about that now. And then he said this, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. Now look at it. For she's a sinner. Well, I tell you, Simon, he didn't have a problem calling other people's a sinner, but I don't think Simon was willing to admit he was one. You know, you got to be careful about that. Is that right, church? Well, I tell you, it's easy to see the faults in others. It's easy to see the weaknesses of others. It's easy to sit at meat and begin to think of how good you are and how good we do things and look at others and say, well, I tell you right now, boy, if so-and-so just knew about her, you know. And Simon, he had this old Pharisaical, and he was a Pharisee, he had this eye that looked down on others, but he didn't, he struggled with calling himself a sinner. You know, the more I witness to people, it's getting hard to find sinners. Well, you just talk about, boy, our world's full of sinners. Amen. Boy, I tell you right now, world's full of sinners. Have you, how about you? Are you one of them? Well, now, I'm not that bad. Well, sure you are. You're terrible. Hey, now, wait a minute now. Well, what do you mean? You know, I'm not like her. Well, you might not be like her. You might not be an outward sinner. You might be an inward sinner. You might not be an action sinner. You might be an attitude sinner. You might not be a sinner who puts sin on display. You may be one that hides it. You might not be a sin of commission. You might be a sin of omission. And Jesus tested him. Jesus not only was a prophet, amen, Jesus is God. See, he said, look at it here in verse number 39. He said, well, if he were a prophet, Simon, you way off, my friend. You're way off. Jesus is more than a prophet. He is God in the flesh. And he not only knows what you're thinking, he knows what your need is. And so he said this in verse number 40, when Simon, the Pharisee, said, you know, if he only knew what manner of woman this was that toucheth him, she's a sinner. Well, she was just so glad to be saved. When's the last time you just got all over yourself because you're saved? Because your sins are forgiven. You know, this is important. We've got folks running around who don't even realize what's going on. God expects us to rejoice that our sins are forgiven. We're to express joy unspeakable and full of glory. We are to be known as a joyful and a happy people, even in the midst of tribulation. We ought to be rejoicing. Thank God my sins are gone. Amen. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Amen. This woman went to Jesus, I mean, listen, put herself on public display, junked her pride, junked everything and said, I don't care who knows it. I'm glad I'm saved. I don't care what they say. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. I don't care how they ridicule me. I'm going to love my Savior for what He's done for me. Well, I wish that a lot of Baptists could just get a good old case of don't care and say, I'm glad that I'm saved and I'm going to rejoice that God has washed my sins away. Amen. Quit worrying about what they think and get concerned about what He thinks. Amen? God help us. God help us. He said here, in verse number 40, Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, Simon, you've got some problems and I want to talk about them. You say, is that what it says? Well, I'm reading between the lines. Look what he said in verse 40. Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You got this thing wrong, my friend. And he said, well, verse number 40, he saith, Master, say on. Now, don't you miss this. This is a wonderful principle, and I'm going to break this principle down, and then we'll close. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. That's important. Not a debtor. Two debtors. Because there's two people here that need to hear this. In particular. Now, there's a lot of people gathered around. I know that from verse 49. Look at it. And they that sat at meat with him. There's a bunch of people there. I believe that with all of my heart. But he didn't say he had 20 debtors or 400 debtors. He didn't say he had one debtor. So he's got two. Because there's two people that need to hear this. And maybe there's two people that need to hear it here this morning. I don't know. And he said in verse number 41, he said a certain creditor had two debtors and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. So I don't understand that. Well, I'm going to kind of bring it to our day. Okay? So one of them owed $500,000 and one of them owed $50,000. All right, so you got these two creditors or these two debtors. You got this creditor who they owe money to, both of them. One of them owes $500,000 and one of them owes $50,000. It's a pretty good difference there. And then he said in verse number 42, and when they had nothing to pay, neither one of them now. Don't miss this. Neither one of them. Nothing to pay. That puts them in the same boat. They're both bankrupt. They have nothing. Yeah, but I'm going to have more for dinner. That's not going to pay your debt. No more than opening up a box of ointment, putting it on his feet. That's not going to pay your debt. They had a debt to pay. Neither of them could afford to pay the debt. Why? Notice again the words of Jesus in verse number 42. And when they had, what's the next word? Nothing. Nothing. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Nothing. Nothing. Hear me now. This is where it's at. There's some folks thinking, well, you know, I'm a good person. I'm sure Simon sat there all pious and religious and thought, well, you know what? I'm glad I'm not like her. Boy, she's just an old, listen, just an old street prostitute. And she's, boy, if anybody ever needed church, she needs it. If anybody ever needed preaching, boy, preacher, I hope you get her straightened out. You wouldn't believe some of the things I've heard over the years. Let me tell you something, brother. We all need straightening out. And there ain't no preacher going to straighten us out. There's no human being going to straighten us out. There's only one that can straighten the crooked out, and that's the God of heaven, amen. We need God to do something in our lives, and we have nothing to offer.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
So he says here in verse number 42, he said, when they had nothing to pay, look at this, he frankly forgave them both. You know what that frankly means? Look it up. Graciously and freely. He said, I'm just going to forgive you both. So he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Now, don't miss it now. He's asking Simon. You know, the one that's snarling at his nose and saying, boy, this guy thinks he's a prophet. And then look at her. Can you believe he's allowing her to touch him? If he only knew. She's touching him. Can you believe it? Well, I tell you, that's terrible. But now, if we're not careful, that same spirit can get in our heart. Yeah. Simon, still not willing to admit he's a sinner, in verse number 43, he answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Boy, I tell you, that's a sad case. I shouldn't be laughing. That's sad. Just come out and say it, Simon. You know who. Amen. You know who. You just know that the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of the earth put you in a corner and called you out. That's what you've just now finding out. Amen. Jesus is calling you out, Simon. He said, I've got something I need to say to you. There's two debtors that owed a debt to a creditor, and he frankly forgave them both. Who do you think is going to love him the most? He said, I suppose, you know, I don't want to commit now, you know. I see where this is going. I sure hope there's nobody watching by live stream or sitting here tonight thinking that today, you know, or today. I see where this is going. Well, I hope you do. He said, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most, he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Now, let's draw some principles from this. Do you see what just happened? The first thing I want to draw to your attention is just because the debt was forgiven doesn't mean the debt wasn't paid. That's principle number one. Who suffered in the loss of this parable? The creditor. How much did he suffer? All. Because they had nothing to pay. He frankly forgave them all of their debt. You want to see how much your debt paid? You say, I don't know. I must be one of them, maybe one of them 50 pence. I don't think I'm that bad. Now, I think you're about a 500 pence. The question is, are you going to realize it? See, this is not about, listen to me. Please hear me. This is not about amount. All right? It's not. It's about awareness. It's about awareness. So I want everybody to please just look up here at the preacher and follow me. Some of you sitting there, you've never drank an ounce of alcohol in your life. God bless you. I hope you never do. Stay away from that stuff. It's poison.
Amen.
Some of you never had a tobacco touch your lips. Thank God for that. I hope it never does. You've never thought about smoking dope, snorting coke, running heroin. You've never thought about drugs, and you never would. Thank God, I hope you never do. But now don't you think that in order for you to be thankful for your salvation, you've got to get out in the world. You don't have to get out in the world. That's not what this is teaching. This is not teaching, Simon, if you would just be an old street prostitute, you'd know how to love me the way y'all are loving me. Don't you read this and think that's what that's teaching. That's not teaching this. This is not talking about the amount of sin. It's talking about the awareness of sin. Say it with me, brethren. Say it with me. Say, oh, I got to go out. I got to live like the devil and live like the world in order to be thankful for my salvation. No, you don't. No, you don't. You ought to jump, click your heels up. If you're in this building today and you've never smoked dope, snorted coke, drank liquor, if you've never had profanity come across your lips, never gotten involved in immorality, impurity, you ought to jump up, click your heels, and praise God to the high heaven you never got involved in that stuff. You ought to praise God. Your shout ought to be the loudest in the building, amen. Amen. And yet if we're not careful, we'll listen to preachers. Listen to me now. And testimonies, and I'm not against people testifying about the goodness of God. But brethren, the goodness of God is good to those who are 50 pence and to those who are 500 pence. Say amen with me. Are we aware of it? Please don't think that what the Bible says is, now here's what you got to do in order to be thankful that you're saved and show Jesus that you love him. You got to run out there and get as much sin as you can. And just do as much as you can. And then when you get saved, you'll come and you'll stand and you'll weep. And you'll say, oh, I thank God I'm not living that lifestyle anymore. And your tears will fall down on Jesus' feet. And you'll take your hair and wipe his feet. And you'll kiss his feet and anoint him. Oh, that's what it's going to take. No, it doesn't. Why is Jesus rebuking Simon? Jesus is rebuking Simon. Let's see why he's rebuking him. Look at it. The Bible says in verse 44, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? Look at her, Simon. I believe Simon wouldn't even look at her. That's how proud and arrogant he was. He wouldn't even look at her. He said, seest thou this woman? I enter into thy house. Watch it now. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. That was customary for a guest. That was customary when a man was a guest in your home in this culture. You didn't give me water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Look at verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time that I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. What's he saying, Simon? You don't love me. Not like she loves me. See, he's rebuking him. Why is he rebuking him? Well, the first reason that I believe Simon didn't love him is because he didn't know him. This woman knew Jesus. But she had experienced something from him. Can I ask you a question? Have you experienced forgiveness? Think about that. Have you experienced the forgiving grace of God? If you have, when you begin to think about it, it will begin to churn in your heart. Tears will begin to well up in your eyes. You will begin to be so thankful to God that you are forgiven. Amen. When you get in the presence of God, it doesn't matter what your sins are. You just know you're a sinner. Amen. You listening? Your sins could be all that I've listed before. The drinking, the carousing, the adultery, the fornication, the drunkenness. Or it could be gossip and jealousy and strife and envy. See, nobody doesn't see that much, but God sees it. And it's just as wicked in the sight of God as this side. But what you'll begin to think is, I'm a 50 pence sinner. Look at it again. Look at it. In verse number 41, see that 50 pence against that 500 pence? I'm a 50 pence sinner. I'm not as bad as those old 500 pence. And what that's going to do to you, now listen to me, please. Listen to me carefully. It's going to take something away from your heart. And you're going to begin to think, well, you know what? Those folks over there, they really needed to get saved. I got saved, and the world's a better place. It's almost like God owed you something. Brethren, God doesn't owe us anything. There's no 50-pence sinners. Listen to me. There's no 50-pencers. We're 500-pencers in the eyes of God. You listening? See, in the eyes of man, we categorize 50. I think she might be 100 pence. Boy, there's a 500 pence for sure, right? Now, us, we're kind of a, until you become aware of who you are and who God is. See, that was Simon's problem. Simon didn't realize who he was. He didn't realize who Jesus was. But when you become aware of who you are and who Jesus is, then that awareness will cause you to love the way this woman. I want to give you one more principle, and then we're going to close. So what happened? What happened? Look what Jesus said in verse 47. These are some tremendous verses. And I could preach the whole message on these verses, but I won't. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That's why she's here, Simon. Okay? She's aware. But now watch this. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom is little forgiven, the same loveth little. She realizes, Simon, don't miss this now. You see, I want you to underline or circle that word for. The word for in the scripture depends on how it's used in the sentence. It could mean because, and it could be therefore. All right? Depends on the structure of the sentence. If the sentence is structured this way, let's read it. Wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Therefore, she loveth much. You see? She realizes that she was a 500-pence sinner. She realized all of her sin, not just some of it. She realized all of her sin. And because of that, she loves me. On the other hand, if it read this way, she hath loved me much. Wherefore, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She hath loved me much. Why? Because she realized her sins, which are many, are forgiven. See, you don't love Jesus. Please hear me. We don't love Jesus because we're a great sinner, more than a not-so-great sinner. Jesus is teaching we're all great sinners. Do you realize it? Do you realize it? Please don't think because someone's a coke addict and gets saved that they have more to thank God for than you who's never done cocaine. That's the world's way of thinking. That's not God's way of thinking. You ought to love Jesus for saving you. There will be a period there. A period. You ought to be willing to wash his feet and dry it with your hair and kiss his feet because you're forgiven. That's what the message is here. And so he told this woman, he said, just in case there was anyone there saying, well, you know what? I must not be saved because I've never washed his feet with my tears and wiped it with my hair and I never broke open the alabaster box and so I must not be saved. He said, oh, that's not what saves you. Now, there are some people that's going to leave here today and they're going to think this, you know, I'm glad God loves me. That's why I'm saved. That's not why you're saved. Please hear me. You're not saved because God loves you. The Bible says God so loved the world. How many of you think the world's saved? Amen. Takes more than God loving you to get saved. You say, well, she got saved because she loved him. That's not why she got saved. That's not why she got saved. That's a result of her getting saved. That's an evidence of her getting saved. This is why she got saved and how she got saved. Look at it in verse number 50. And he said unto the woman, thy faith has saved thee. That's the only way you can get saved. Amen. It's by faith. He wanted to make this very clear. So what's going on here? Well, Jesus is saying, I want you to realize just how indebted you are to me. You're very indebted to me. But I paid the debt for you. Amen. Now, how are you going to respond to that? I'll tell you how God said you ought to respond to it. You ought to love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. with every fiber in your being, you ought to love me. And when you really realize what I've done for you, you will love me that way. You won't have to have a preacher behind you pressing you, now love Jesus, now love Jesus now. You don't have to have parents telling you, now come to church so you can show you love Jesus. Read your Bible so God will know you love him. You won't need any of that pep talk when you realize really what kind of sinner you are and what kind of Savior he is. That's really what it takes, brother. That is what this story's about. And so please don't think, if you're, as we stand to our feet, please don't think that, you know what, I don't have much of a testimony. I never done all that bad stuff. You've done enough of bad that would have put you in hell forever had you not come to Jesus. And that's what this account of the scripture. It's saying God wants to meet your need. God wants to respond to your love. Can I tell you what Jesus did not do? And this is wonderful. He didn't tell this woman, stop it. Stop it. Can I tell you, when you begin to love on Jesus, he'll stand by your side. There'll be others that will ridicule and try to tear you down and try to talk you out of it, or try to just say, you know, you ought not do it. You're kind of making a little bit of a spectacle of yourself. You ought not cry so much about Jesus. You ought not lift your hand in the church service and say, I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, when it comes testimony time now, be sure to keep your mouth closed. Of course, when the ball game's on, be sure to scream so loud that it rattles the windows, right? I'm just saying, you know, when your favorite team scores a touchdown or hits a home run, make sure you do cartwheels. But when you're at church, please now, just don't. You know, we just need to fall in love with Jesus again. That's really what it's about. We won't be afraid to go to public places like this where we know that we're in the minority and just let tears roll down our face and say, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm so glad Jesus forgave me. When's the last time you got so overwhelmed with emotion? Not because of what an answered prayer about money or health or a family member, but just because Jesus forgave your sin. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. I was one of those old 500 pincers, and Jesus forgave me. When's the last time you really just was overwhelmed with emotion? I sure am glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm forgiven. You know, when you begin to show Jesus, did you notice what he did? He told her. He said, I want to remind you again, thy sins are forgiven. Is that what he told her? When you begin to thank God that your sins are forgiven, he'll begin to make it so real in your heart. He'll just begin to confirm over and over again, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. And the more it's confirmed, the more you want to love him for it. Amen. It's like a cycle. And then he said, go in peace, which means now you don't have to deal with all that stuff. You've been set free. The peace of God that comes from being justified has taken you from an enemy of God to the friend of God. You have peace. Let's bow our heads together. You know, when I read this chapter, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I thought about the great miracles that was done in Luke chapter 7. But then I thought this. I thought, you know, of all the great miracles and all the great needs in that chapter, the greatest one is the one that I think many of us would just pass over. And that's the one at last. The woman got saved. We think, well, you know, that centurion servant, he got healed. What a miracle. Man, that widow's son, he got raised from the dead. What a miracle. Now, the greatest miracle was this woman who came to Jesus and said, Lord, I just love you so much. Thank you for forgiving me.